Death in the City, Francis A. Schaeffer, Crossway, 2002, 164 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Benjamin J. Montoya, Ph.D. About the author, Francis A. Schaeffer, 1912 through 1984, authored more than 20 books, which have been translated into a score of languages and sold millions worldwide. He and his wife, Edith, founded LaBrie Fellowship International Study and Discipleship Centers. Recognized internationally for his work in Christianity and culture, Schaeffer passed away in 1984, but his influence and legacy continue worldwide. Introduction. We are living in a post-Christian world. How should we as Christians live and function in it? Coming from the perspective of an individual whose words now resonate even more so than they did when he penned them, Schaeffer seeks to answer these important questions. Table of Contents. Chapter 1, Death in the City. Chapter 2, The Loneliness of Man. Chapter 3, The Message of Judgment. Chapter 4, An Echo of the World. Chapter 5, The Persistence of Compassion. Chapter 6, The Significance of Man. Chapter 7, The Man Without the Bible. Chapter 8, The Justice of God. Chapter 9, The Universe and Two Chairs. Summary. Chapter 1, Death in the City. We have true death in our cities because people have turned away from God and turned towards other things and creatures, neither of which will ever satisfy them spiritually, nor will bring true worship to God. In our day, we have death in the city just like Jeremiah had in his day, as he spoke about God's judgment in the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations. God can judge us in a variety of ways, but his judgment right now involves turning away from us. This ends up with man living with all sorts of different philosophies to try and find meaning in their lives, only to end up empty. What we need is a reformation of our doctrine, revival of our souls, and a constructive revolution. When those three things align and happen simultaneously, that is when we see the greatest transformations throughout history. Chapter 2, The Loneliness of Man. We were created to be in a right relationship with God and others, but when we turn away from God and turn toward other philosophies or art or whatever, then we are putting ourselves in a very lonely situation, truly apart from God and others. We will find no true comfort there. We will find ourselves lonelier than ever. We are also created for companionship in this life. The Song of Solomon illustrates that point. But the larger point of that book is to highlight the need for companionship with our Creator for how we were made. We were made to be in a relationship with Him, albeit in a different way than described in the Song of Solomon. When we turn away from God, just like Israel did, we can expect the same kinds of judgments and consequences as them. We can expect truly awful things to happen because God has wired in cause and effect into society. Chapter 3, The Message of Judgment. The message that our generation needs to hear is the same one of judgment that Jeremiah preached. Jeremiah was an unpopular prophet who faced lots of ridicule and persecution. People did not like what he had to say, because they did not want to hear what God had to say. When people turn away from God to other things, they will face judgment. Sure, they may think they are enjoying things of this earth, food, sex, etc., but God will judge people who turn from Him. There is real cause and effect in this world. Plus, our time is one where people try to synthesize ideas from different areas, as if there is no black and white truth. God will not be mocked in this way either. God is the God of antithesis, not synthesis. The harsh reality is that we need to preach this message of judgment, though it be unpopular. But this is the real message our generation needs to hear. Chapter 4, An Echo of the World. When Jeremiah spoke out against people turning away from God, he did so in general. He addressed and accused the political and religious leaders of his day for being at fault, for leading people away from God and His truth. They were faulted for acting in ways that allowed for this kind of behavior. Our day is no different. People turn away from God and His truth, and many, if not most, political and religious leaders follow in the same footsteps. When people hear that, they may be quick to shift blame elsewhere, to say that perhaps the two world wars lead people in this direction. Make no mistake about it. The echo of the world that we see in our country, and among Christians especially, is not because of the world ways. If their foundation had been strong, those wars would have had little impact on them. Instead, the underlying problem remains the same. Preaching this kind of message and placing the real blame will be unpopular. It will lead to persecution. It will have the same effects that it did on Jeremiah and even Christ himself. But this is the message that our day needs. We need to beg God for His mercy on our generation because we have largely turned away from God and His truth. Chapter 5, The Persistence of Compassion. Our time is not unique, but it is one that demands compassion from us as we share the bad news about ourselves and our world with other people. Take Jeremiah, for example. His message was one of judgment. No one wanted to hear that. As a result, he suffered physically and emotionally. People wanted him to shut up, and they even locked him up so that he could not be heard. Did he stop? Absolutely not. God kept speaking to him, and he kept speaking what God said. In our day, people need to hear the bad news about them turning away from God and His truth. People don't like to hear it, ever. But when we share it, regardless of the setting, on a college campus, in a local church, a center like La Brie Fellowship, it must be done with compassion. If people sense you truly and deeply care for them, they will listen to this kind of preaching. They may still reject it, and you may face persecution, but our world is not ready for good news until they hear and understand the bad news. They must understand that there is a knowable, real truth in a day when people stress synthesis and relativism. Chapter 6, The Significance of Man. Our society teaches from a wide variety of perspectives that we are not responsible for who we are or what we do. That can be due to our upbringing and a wide variety of factors. But they do not believe we ourselves are responsible for our actions. The Bible teaches us that we are responsible for our actions because we are made in God's image. He made us significant and great beings. Our underlying primary problem is we are fallen, turning away from God and His truth. For us to be made right, we need the gospel. We need to trust in Christ and repent of our sins. We must be justified through faith in Christ. Then we must live by faith, becoming more like Christ. Paul explains these concepts in more detail in the book of Romans, and he especially details how we are supposed to live in this world in Romans 12, 1 through 2. Chapter 7, The Man Without the Bible. Ironically, even though many people do not have access to the Bible, they still have moral motions, acting in ways with knowing right from wrong. When we speak with people who are no longer associated with the Bible, we must keep in mind how we speak to them. Even when Paul addressed people without God's revealed Scripture, he spoke differently. Paul, however, did not shy away from talking about God's judgment against them. He still made it clear that God would judge their sin and that they deserve God's wrath because they have turned away from Him and His truth. This part of the gospel message must be made clear. We need to hear the bad news of the Bible before the good news. How, then, does God hold people accountable that never receive His Bible? The next chapter will consider that question. Chapter 8, The Justice of God. The question regarding God's judgment of those who have never had access to the Bible or the gospel is a tough one, no doubt. It is a divisive question, and it is not easy for anyone. What, then, does God do according to the Bible? God holds them accountable to their knowledge of Him in creation and their own moral motions. He judges them based on what they know. They are still accountable to Him just like everyone else. And they cannot say back to God that they did not know better. Even the morals they know, they break. If we each had a tape recorder following our entire lives, then we would all have to admit it. A lot of people will call this kind of response to this question harsh, but this is what the Bible teaches. To try and go around what the Bible teaches gives up the holiness of God and the greatness of man at a bare minimum. All Christians have the responsibility to share this serious message with the world around us. If we try to abandon this responsibility, then there is something wrong with our orthodoxy. Orthodoxy without this kind of compassion is ugly to God. Chapter 9, The Universe and Two Chairs. Imagine with me for a moment that in the entire universe, there are only two people sitting in the same room in only two chairs, one person in each. One person is a materialist, believing that only the material world exists and absolutely nothing else. The other person is a Bible-believing Christian. They both think the other one is crazy for what they believe about the world and what they cannot see. The materialist claims to believe only in what he can see, and the Christian believes in much more. There can be no middle ground here. We can be in either one spot or the other, not in a third synthesized seat of any kind. This is a picture of our world quite clearly. How, then, are Christians supposed to live in this world maintaining the faith they claim? They are supposed to live by faith, according to their theological commitments. They are supposed to pray, read the Bible, understand their faith, and share the gospel, both bad and good news. We must be like Jeremiah was in his day and our own. We cannot skip over the judgment of God. It is real, and it is coming. But it is with compassion that we share that with others so that we can share the gospel and a model of life of faith. If we want to see real change in this world, in the church, and in our lives, we must start here and continue to live by faith. Copyright 2023, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.